Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJRFM Sports Headlines.
Headlines are brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass, because Anders, it's always 420.
At Buddy's.
All right, last night the Mariners dropping their loss, a sweep in three games. The Texas Rangers outscored 22-9 over three games. Again, Bryce Miller just 2 1/3 innings, 8 hits, 7 earned runs. Looking to see if he can get back on track here like he was first few games until he hit that big old speed bump against the Yankees and the Rangers. M's off today, into San Diego tomorrow. Meanwhile, NBA Finals, the Heat overcoming the Nuggets, 111-108 victory. That series all tied, one game apiece. Great run for UW softball, but their run ends. College World Series semifinals over the weekend, losing 1-0 to Stanford yesterday again. Nigeri Kennedy threw a one-hitter that sees Stanford going on to the semifinals as well. Washington State, by the way, getting a big commitment from Spencer Mahoney. Justin McIntyre's Cougars getting Spencer Mahoney, a 6'9" forward.
Another New York to Washington transfer, and I should say Washington State.
6'9" forward. He is now a Cougar. By the way, game two, Vegas and Florida. Stanley Cup final this evening, 5 p.m. on Sports Radio 93.3. KJRFM. We've got Curtis Crabtree here right around the corner here. And joining us now, Curtis Crabtree of Fox 13. Curtis, my man, thank you very much for doing this. Have you broken 80 in the last week or so on the golf course?
Yes, I did, but that's also because I played a really short golf. We're getting to golf season for me, which is a good thing.
They don't say how, they just basically say how many, and it was you just keeping the driver wedge out, and that was it, correct?
Yeah, nothing, no big mistakes.
Well, let's just touch on this. I'll begin here with the Thunderbirds. We've been following them here for much of the season, a lot of the conversation back and forth with what they've done. And for those who haven't seen this team before, this isn't just a one-and-done operation. Yes, they've got guys moving on, but they've got more guys here in the pipeline coming off back-to-back appearances in the WHL Championship Series and then to within one win of a Memorial Cup title. Curtis, what took you back about this season for a team that's got just tons of talent that could be in the NHL within about a few years here?
Well, and one of them has been in the NHL for 30-plus games this season in Dylan Gunther.
Yeah.
To me, what was just notable was the fact that they were able to put that many highly talented pieces together on the same junior hockey team at the same time. I mean, to have five first-round draft picks in the NHL all playing for a junior hockey team at the same moment to make a run for Memorial Cup, they were a loaded roster. And yes, they fall one game short of winning the title with a valiant effort by Quebec to beat them, but that team has 10 NHL draft picks in total on the roster. Six of their guys that haven't been drafted are listed by NHL Central Scouting as a part of the draft-eligible class this year, and I'd expect probably at least four of those guys to get drafted, and then more down the road, too, guys like Bryce Pickford and Tiija Ginla, the son of NHL Hall of Famer Jarome Ginla. Like, they are so loaded with talent that they were a lot of fun to watch. It was like watching, like mini NHL games when I was down there watching their games this year because of how much talent they had. So they will have a lot of those guys back next year, but a lot of them will be aging out as well.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. If you want to see what's close to an NHL-like atmosphere, but for a fraction of the price, there's the Thunderbirds, the Silvertips not too far away, the Portland Winterhawks as well, same league, Spokane Chief, Tri-City Americans, also which produced Morgan Geeky on the Seattle Kraken roster. Curtis, I watched the Memorial Cup championship game and couldn't help but think the Thunderbirds just hit a wall. And it was uncharacteristic based on how they thrive in rugged play under head coach Matt Audette. What happened last night to you on national TV?
I thought that they were just a half step slow to everything. And, you know, because of the fact that they advanced straight to the final out of the round robin portion, Quebec was understandably had the fresh legs underneath them. And I think it showed. And they just play a really sound defensive game. And their goaltender, Seattle played Quebec twice. William Rousseau allowed one goal in 120 minutes of play. He shut them down. As highly talented and offensive skilled junior team as there is out there, he just said no to the Thunderbirds for two straight games, basically. 58 minutes of the first game, shut them out. A full shutout here in 60 minutes in this game. They just had a little bit more in the tank, and deserving champions because of it. NHL head coach, NHL Hall of Famer Patrick Waugh was their head coach. I believe Simone Gagné is an assistant of theirs on the bench. That's a very talented and well-coached team, too, for obvious reasons.
That's now two Memorial Cup titles here for Patrick Waugh. You buying any of this talk that he could be back in the NHL soon?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you play that well in their Memorial Cup run? Yeah, he'll get looks for sure, particularly when you're Patrick Waugh.
He previously was a part of the Colorado Avalanche behind the bench, of course, an accomplished goaltender for a long, long, long time, greatest of all time. But, of course, Martin Brodeur challenging that. But then all of a sudden you have Waugh behind the bench in Colorado, out after about a couple of seasons and maybe popping back up here soon. And one of the teams that's maybe on the rumor mill for him, the Ottawa Senators. But back here to Seattle for the Thunderbirds, again, is Curtis Crabtree joining us. For more names that we could be seeing here down the road, I can't help but think of guys like Dylan Gunther, you said, cracking the NHL roster. Lucas Cione, NHL draft pick. Brad Lambert, high-end NHL draft pick. And more who are moving on and are going to be in the news for NHL careers soon. Kevin Korchinski's got a chance, theoretically, to make the Blackhawks roster, though he is still very, very tender and not so much ripe for his age. Maybe. But what about guys in net like Thomas Milich, who won a medal and was undrafted?
With Milich having the success in the World Juniors and carrying the Thunderbirds to, you know, the WHL final last year, to the Memorial Cup this year, getting them to within a game of winning the Memorial Cup, I think Thomas Milich will have NHL opportunities regardless of if he's drafted or not. I think he probably ends up being drafted this year because of that resume he put together this season. But, you know, his backup as well, Scott Ratzlaff, I wouldn't be surprised to see drafted this year too. So both of their goaltenders could end up getting drafted in this year's class. They're among those six guys that I mentioned earlier. The other ones are Grayson Souchin, Sawyer Mineo, a defenseman for them, Nico Mijatovic, and the last one I think is Jeremy Hanzel, are the six guys that have been listed by NHL Central Scouting as guys who could be drafted this year from the Thunderbirds roster. So there's still quite a bit of talent there beyond the 10 that have already been selected by NHL teams. And you mentioned guys that might have an NHL track sooner than later. Jared Davidson is really good at faceoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Really good at faceoffs. And that's a skill set that will carry into the NHL when he tries to come up. He's in the Montreal Canadiens organization. And I think with the grit that he showed to come from being an undrafted WHL guy to putting together the best playoff scoring record in franchise history for the T-Birds, I think he'll have a pathway forward as well in some sort of a role for them down the line.
No, they've played a lot of long hockey now for two seasons in a row, challenging for the WHL title last year, falling short to Edmonton. Now winning it this year and getting all the way to the Memorial Cup. So plenty of bodies that they're going to be leaving their roster, but plenty as well who are going to be filling the void here for this next year and for a few years down the road. Again, Curtis Crabtree of Fox 13 joining us here. Moving on to the Mariners. Curtis, scale of 1 to 10, what's your level of concern?
Well, for them to make the playoffs this year, yeah, it would have to be about an 8.5, I think, just because this year they don't have the luxury of the rest of the league being as mediocre or average as it was a year ago. It's going to take more wins to make the playoffs this year, I think, than it did a year ago. And when you've got more heavy hitting potential in your own division this year, Texas was a terrible team last year, and they're capable of sweeping the Mariners right now and dominating them in the way that they did it over the weekend here. The Angels aren't terrible. They're not great, but they're capable. the A's are really, really bad, but you're also not playing them as many times this year with the changes to the scheduling rules. You're not playing your division teams as many times. So it's going to be harder for them to find a path in the division on its own. And then you look at the American League East, where the Yankees, the Orioles, and the Rays are all good and vastly have better records than Seattle does right now, with the Yankees beating the crap out of you at home the last time you were here. That's going to be significant competition in the wild card race. It's a much harder path right now than it seems like last year ended up being. Now, that being said, I remember I wrote a column for our website the first day of summer last year, saying it looked like the Mariners were pretty much done at that point, and then they ran off, what was it, a 14-game winning streak, whatever it ended up being before the All-Star.
It was all you. It was all you.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll go that far. I didn't go as far as saying they were done, but saying, like, with what they've shown so far, it's really hard to see a path forward for them. You win 14 straight, you can change the narrative there a little bit. I don't know, with the hitting that they have going on right now, the way that the fifth spot in the rotation is getting hit around with the rookies coming in and filling in, and Bryce Miller and Brian Wu getting hit pretty hard their last couple times up here. Wu, obviously, this weekend making his debut. The bats not getting anything consistently going. Like, Jared Kelnick's had a breakout year, and their offense is still really, really poor. Their DH spot, I wrote a few days ago, the numbers are probably a little outdated now, was hitting like 144 as a unit when I wrote it on just before the weekend. So it's not a great spot that they're in by any stretch.
I mean hindsight's 20/20, but can you imagine a bat like Kelnick for this year in last year's lineup late in the season?
Yeah, it would have been a big difference. And now he's cooled off a little bit here recently, but that was the issue we had looking into this season, was that they felt like they were at least a bat short heading into spring training. At least a bat short. And that was even not counting on Jared Kelnick to have the breakout he did. Now you've seen some regression from Eugenio Suarez a little bit. Oscar Hernandez hasn't gotten going. The guys that they've added in Tommy La Stella, he's already gone.
Yeah.
AJ Pollock has not been particularly productive in his platoon role. They haven't gotten anything out of the DH options that they've rolled through there. And, you know, it took Julio a while to get going a little bit too. Like, it's not working out right now. And it was like they went into the year counting on the margins that they had from last year, like in the one-run victories and the amount of offense they had, when it was clear they were going to need to get more out of their offensive potential. And it's not a massive surprise to me that it's falling a little bit short right now.
Does this get fixed easily more with health improvements, based on that we haven't seen Dylan Moore, we haven't seen Andrés Muñoz, Marco Gonzalez is out, or is this more of a trade market situation?
If Dylan Moore is the answer to your problems, I think you got bigger questions, man. Like, Dylan Moore is a solid player, but Dylan Moore is not going to move the needle on the success of the Mariners for this year in a big picture scheme. Marco Gonzalez has missed one start, and he's been, you know, fine for a fifth starter role. Not great, not horrendous. Andrés Muñoz being out has hurt them for sure. But their bullpen options have held up for the most part pretty well with the guys that they brought up, your Justin Topas, your Gabe Spires. Those kind of pieces have come up and filled in well. They're just not getting enough offense consistently enough. They can't put it together as a group collectively often enough for it to matter. And you look at all the one-run victories they've had over the last 2 years, and it was like they went into this year betting on getting that same success rate, and it just felt like a little pie-in-the-sky hopefulness. And when they had the run that they did, you wanted them to add a little bit more substance to what they brought to the table, and they just haven't done that with the roster decisions this offseason. So now, if you're going to go try to fix it, it's going to cost you prospect capital to do so. Not just some money out of a bank account to go sign somebody in free agency. And I get some of the guys that were available were pretty expensive options and haven't had the greatest starts to this year in particular. But now it's going to cost you prospects to potentially go get somebody if you're going to try to Band-Aid it for this year, which is a problem.
And you raise a great point, because how many times are they going to have these kind of talks and the team on the other line is saying, oh, yeah, can you send us Bryce Miller?
That could be one of the asks for sure. Or Brian Wu, who they brought up this weekend. Now, I get that he had a rough debut, but they really like him as a pitcher. We haven't even talked about an Emerson Hancock, which is still down there, or Taylor Dollard, which is down in the minors as well. You know, a Harry Ford is going to be an ask somebody asks for among players. When you're looking to try to go out there and fix something with a prospect capital, he's going to be one of the guys at the top of that list after what they saw of him at the World Baseball Classic for Great Britain and all of that. Like, you're not going to be able to go take a package of Cooper Hummel and A.J. Pollock and turn them into Aaron Judge. That's not how this works. You're going to have to give up real players, real prospects, to go try to fix this hole now in season, if that's a move you're going to try to make. And that brings its own downfalls and, you know, pitfalls and all of that as well, because they weren't willing to go spend money in free agency to do so.
On the schedule, the Padres, boy, did we think this is going to be a big series about 4 months ago. A little bit less in the scale with these two teams and their records here. But then the Marlins are playing good baseball. The Yankees again at Yankee Stadium. The Orioles on the schedule. What's your biggest series of the season by the end of the month?
Well, I think the bigger thing is just, like, I think if you take out their games against the Oakland A's, who are on pace to be perhaps the worst baseball team ever, they're 8 games under .500 as a team so far this year. They haven't proven they can beat anybody good. So until they can start doing that with some of those teams that you mentioned coming in here and beating teams that are actually playoff contending type rosters, there's not a whole lot of evidence to suggest that they can get back in this race. Now, again, I said something similar to that last year when they were scuffling and came off of losing, what was it, 4 or 5 in the weekend series against the Angels, where everything went terrible for them and Jesse Winker decided to get into a fight for some stupid reason.
Oh, by the way, the Angels are also coming up this weekend, too.
Well, I mean, it would help if you could beat them, because the Angels aren't a playoff team. If you go and struggle again against the Angels again this weekend, like, you're starting to it's starting to get late early at that point. Not that you can't dig out of the hole, but you're making it very, very difficult on yourself.
A Seahawks opening minicamp tomorrow, and they've got a lot of levers they pulled with things going their way recently. But we talk about this ad nausea. What's your feel on the chance you think Jamal Adams is back for week one?
I think he's tracking towards that roughly. I mean, from what Pete Carroll says, it's somewhat up in the air. They're going to have to wait and see how he comes in training camp, him and Jordan Brooks, with the injury. But Jamal got hurt really early last season. It was game one of the year against Denver where he got hurt. I've not experienced a player with a quad tendon from guys that I've covered and what the recovery timetable is like on that. Like, ACLs I know pretty well. You know, high ankle sprains I know pretty well because I've covered those throughout the years. Roughly the time frame that it's going to take for these guys to get back from that. I haven't seen somebody come back from a quad tendon tear and what that means in the recovery time. I don't think it's going to be fun for Jamal, what he's going through in this recovery process. But to get him back to full strength, maybe it does take a little bit longer than the first game of the season. I don't have a great sense for it right now. I think he's got a chance, but until we see training camp and how he's tracking then, I don't got a great sense for it.
Pete Carroll's words are always compete. And at the center position, there's a battle going on. I love the potential where Oluwatimi can fit. And this is a young line, and a center's world can be chaotic in the NFL. But what do you sense that he's up against here to start?
Well, he's definitely on the roster. I think he's got a solid chance to start. Evan Brown has been taking, I think, the first crack at the reps at the center spot through whatever you want to make of what the OTAs are. If fans had a chance to come out and watch OTAs and see how little that they can actually do, you're not going to read too much into it, particularly for the players along the line of scrimmage when you can't hit and can't play that kind of game up there where physicality is such a big part of it. But, you know, Olu is a guy that they thought highly of because of his time at Michigan and the fact that he's played in a pro-style system and making that move to the NFL, and they believe he can handle that sort of thing. It's going to be one of the few spots of real competition, I think, that makes sense for them come the fall. Pete always says always compete, but we know some positions are far more safe than others. Bobby Wagner's not competing for anything, for instance. We know that. So it's, you know, it is what it is on that front. But center is one of those spots for sure that's going to be an area to keep an eye on in training camp.
I didn't think much of Devin Witherspoon being given the kid gloves treatment. I mean, this is OTAs after all. But what kind of case is Jackson Smith and Jigba building with where he can make a big impact among this receiving core?
Well, they lack the third wide receiver spot. Consistent production from a third wide receiver throughout last season. And particularly, they don't get much at all out of run after the catch. they were a lot of catch and go down, catch and be tackled kind of plays. Obviously, there's examples of both, but compared to the rest of the league, that's one area they lack is yards after the catch. And that's one area that Jackson should be able to help them out in, to give them another option at receiver and not just the tight end grouping there, a guy with a little bit more explosive capability. I think that's why his addition made sense. I think I thought Marquise Goodwin, when he was healthy last year, gave them a little bit of that at times. But between him and David Moore and some of the other options, they haven't really had that piece in their offense here for a few years. And you look at like what the Rams bring to the table with the options that they've had with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp and all of those sorts of options that they have with the receiver spot. If Seattle can match that with the Waldron system, get that extra piece in the passing attack, I think it would help open things up quite a bit for them to take a little bit of the workload off of Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf.
Well, minicamp just tells us we're getting closer and closer here to the real thing, but you're Mr. Jack of all trades covering everything here. And I mean everything from the Thunderbirds with the Kraken now in the rearview mirror, Mariners, Seahawks, you name it. Curtis, say thanks so much, my man. We got to get back at the golf course soon and to have you beat the wheels off of me. Sound good?
We'll take care of that in short order, for sure.
Oh, he will. Trust me, he will. He will. I still want to hear from you, friends, by the way. We will get to text in just a bit again. 49451 on the Tolbert Dude text line because when it's game time.
It's totally time, Mike.
I'll tell you, I'm...
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Nice. Give me
I was
one.
Late.
Jess, that was awesome.
Yeah,
was awesome.
You know, I squeeze it in like a cartoon character.
Again, friends, I want one word for you to describe this Mariners season so far. 49451.
Or how you're feeling.
49451. One word on how you're feeling or one word for this season. 49451. We'll get to text next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.
Now back to the Ian Furness Show, brought to you by Snoqualmie Casino.
All right, Mike Benton here for the mayor of Maple Valley. Ian is off here for the day. Anders is back in the producer's booth. Jessamine's got something related, family, fun. Anders also. Jessamine,
yeah, go. Well, yeah. This is more Anders related than me. But Anders celebrated, our young boy celebrated his 26th birthday.
Happy birthday!
On Saturday. And we actually, his sister is a rookie in the
Houston Dash.
For the Houston Dash, yes. Which is in the...
WSL.
Thank yes. you. I know there's a lot of leagues, so I didn't want to get it wrong
well,
and
it's the same league as the Rain,
it.
So yeah.
Yeah, which is pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And she also scored a goal on Saturday and had this to say on CBS.
We are pleased to be joined by the goal scorer, Sophie Hurst, who scored her first professional goal. Sophie, we have to ask you, obviously, about that and what that was like, what you saw on your first professional goal.
Well, I would like to say that today is my brother's birthday, so that one was for him.
There you go.
So shout out, but I mean, I was just so excited. Right place, right time. It was really good service, and I turned around. My teammates were there to celebrate with me. It was just an unreal feeling.
Sophie, you've been starting a bit more regularly, and you've completely changed the complexion of this team. You do a lot of unglamorous, dirty work that allows more attacking players to flourish, but can you speak to your new starting role within this team?
Yeah, it was just, you know, all through preseason, I was just working to be ready for that chance, and I got it a few weeks ago, and I was ready to help my team out, but I'm used to doing the dirty work back at school. Like, it's just what I like to do. I like to grind it out, and I'm really glad that I could, you know, put my teammates in the right positions to really make a difference in the game. So It's a lot of fun, and I'm really glad that I was ready for the opportunity.
Congratulations on your goal and the win. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
As a big brother, how cool is that?
That was awesome. Honestly, so many parts were
unexpected. You had to get scraped off the ceiling, didn't you?
Yeah, it was it was funny because, I had mentioned that it was, we were going to the Sounders game on my birthday, and then I texted her saying, yeah, a couple of my friends are going to come watch your game after the Sounders game, so you better score a goal for me, kind of half-heartedly, because she's not really in the most attacking positions all the time, so she's not, like, the highest goal scorer. But, you know, it ended up working that way, and I guess she was ready to shout me out afterwards, which is awesome. And I wasn't even expecting her to be, interviewed. Usually they don't do that with rookies that much, so it was cool that she got the opportunity to
see,
do that.
See, now we know where the work ethic levels go from Bill Belichick to Kobe Bryant to Michael Jordan to the Hurst family.
Yeah, exactly. You know, she's the superstar of the family, so I got to make sure she gets her airtime.
Oh, don't you discount yourself as a superstar.
Let's check text messages here.
Oh, yeah, we have... we did ask for one word.
One word to describe the Mariners season. We have several coming. Your feelings.
But also, someone from the 206 just texted in. Wow, I have sheets older than Anders. That was
antiques.
Quite funny. So let's see. Perplexed. I think that is a fair word. Perplexed because. You just don't know what's going to happen.
From the 509 Mariners season, consider me bamboozled, hoodwinked, deceived.
Mm. Oh, bamboozled. Sisyphus. 425 going with the Greek mythology there. We've got a few miss. M-E-H.
Meh.
That is Ian's word, which I think is fair for a hovering around 500 team because we just don't know yet. But I'm always a silver lining person, so I need someone to talk me down off of that.
I love the 206 saying Mariners, as if there's like some kind of hidden meaning in there. It's like an all-encompassing word, or it's an adjective.
That's just really
you
funny.
People do not disappoint here. From the 425, conflicted. From the 206, abysmal.
Okay.
Lost season.
That is a little ahead of the game. We're a third way through. Not even a third way, right?
Just over a third way, actually.
Yeah, okay, let me
before
math.
Before Texas was exactly one third.
Okay, so I'm in the range. All right, you're not... You didn't...
You can't blame a fan base that has gone through what the Mariners fan base has for
correct.
Kind of thinking that. Like, but they are a little bit ahead of the curve, I will say.
It's just a little early to say you were hoodwinked and... dumpster fire.
I still remember
disappointing
when,
is fair.
I remember when they were still wallowing around this same record back in late June. And this is to be fair, last year. This is well past the Jesse Winker brawl. This is past the whole Red Sox series debacle. Eventually, you're going to find ways where you get guys to figure it out. You make a couple of trades. And then you get a chance to ask Nathan Bishop this back in Mollywop here. But how much does getting a guy like a Carlos Santana now matter for a guy like Julio?
Well, and that's what I was going to ask him that I didn't really get the chance to, but this kind of really feels like that 29-39 from last year moment,
yeah.
Like almost rock bottom for this team. What is going to be the thing that instigates the next run that we go on, whether it's the Winker brawl, like you said last year, or the 14-game winning streak, right? So something has to change for us to kind of have that path be realized.
That's why veterans matter, though. I mean, yeah. Granted, I know that different sports have different cultures and you have more of a team dynamic, say like in hockey or say like in football. How good your room in baseball wasn't so much that, but you go back and remember the San Francisco Giants when they won and you had Hunter Pence standing up in that clubhouse yelling top of his lungs, we have championship blood. That was a tight-knit clubhouse. Look at other teams when they won, the Red Sox. Those teams they all had together when David Ortiz was a part of that. They had chemistry.
That was also when teams used to stay together longer in all of sports. Like it's very different.
And I will give you that. I will give you that. But it really shows to me, I think, how much more progression Julio Rodriguez had when he had somebody like Carlos Santana on his side who had been there before. He understood when the stakes get higher, keep your cool, keep your poise, and there's a way to go about game, you know, 155 versus, say, game two. It's a long season.
Well, and it's not like this team doesn't have veterans either. They have a lot of experience. They're actually the ones that aren't performing, though. So they're not really in a place to, like, lead the group. They're the ones that are kind of lagging behind a little bit. Jared Kelenic and Julio is still starting to go now. Those are the guys that are kind of carrying us forward, and they're supposed to be our young guys. So it's tough to kind of have that position where you're struggling as an individual but trying to carry the rest of the team.
And Teoscar I looked at as, you know, someone who would... Yeah. I mean, it's not like he's old or anything like that, but he's a veteran player. And you're right, though. You can't kind of claim that throne before you...
You don't have the credibility if you're not doing it yourself. You know,
lead by example.
Exactly.
Yep.
Very, very quick, back to the Tullamore Dude text lineup. In the 206, the only difference here in this year's lineup compared to last year's is our right fielder hasn't been hurt three times this year. One word game here from 206 Sellers. From 206, different 206.
No, absolutely not. No, 206. We're not Sellers.
A different 206 here. Optimistic. Optimistic. So there is a sliver of optimism in here.
All right. I like the silver lining, people.
From the 206, that expected, different 206. From the 360, typical. So we're getting a whole spectrum, a whole, you know, big range of emotions here. And again, I go back to what we said top of the show. We're getting a lot of angry people right now about where this team is. But again, this is healthy anger. You have to be allowed your space to vent because you have been told the bar has been set higher, differently, and they aren't reaching that bar. And it's a lot different having angry fans and an angry fan base versus an apathetic fan base. Because
Agreed.
What does apathy mean?
You don't care.
You don't care.
That's the lack
They've tuned
of
out.
Love. Yep.
They've tuned out.
Yeah, you got to give them something to care about, though. If it continues down this path, by the end of the season, it'll get to that point.
They are still saying we are on fire. We care about this. We want to see it get better. Make it better. Make it better. I know one guy who's got some thoughts and then some on this. That's the soft one. Join us right after this here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM. All right, well, the Mariners being off here today, they're in San Diego tomorrow. I know a guy who would love to be golfing down there. He had plenty of golf out in Hawaii as well. It's the first time I've talked to him since he's back in here. Softy, is at the EQC? You there, Softy? Hello?
No, can't hear you. Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Is this thing on?
Meh.
Hello? Does this thing work?
The working professional that you are.
Make a noise.
Never disappoint.
Oh, God. Make it. I heard a lot of that this weekend on the golf course.
How was your weekend? How was your weekend?
Well, I was telling Andrews off the air, we had our member tournament this weekend, and it was, think of a dumpster on fire or a garbage can on fire.
Well, what was in the garbage can?
And that's pretty much what it was all about.
That was only the first hole, right? And you came back and broke.
I mean, like the entire weekend.
30.
Because what they do is they make you go out there on Sunday and play at 9 o'clock in the morning after having an all-nighter on Saturday night after the after round one was over. You guys know what a horse race is, by the way, on the golf course? Mike, you know what that is?
Educate us, please.
Okay.
Well, a horse race is where you get a partner. And you put your team number on one ball, and you go from, like, let's say, Mike, you would tee off from the number 10 tee box, but be aiming for the number 9 green, right? Which could be 600 yards away.
I have played golf for almost 30 years, and I'm just learning this now.
So you hit your shot, and there's like 40 guys, and then everybody gets in their golf cart, and they all take off at the same time, down the wrong fairway, over the bridge, around the bend, to get to the other ball where they just hit. I mean, just keep in mind that, you know, round one ended like an hour and a half ago, and everybody's already drinking.
And it sounds like a simple solution to this.
Well, there is no simple solution until somebody dies doing it.
Okay, let's not wish that on anybody.
That's the end game. Hey, there's a couple of... No, I'm kidding. It's fun. I mean, it's a crazy event. It's a great time. We have a good time, but had a hell of a weekend. In the words of Kevin Calabro, Santa flat out overdid it this weekend, baby.
I know you did it well. I know you did it well because the Mariners got swept in Texas, and we have some thoughts. You've got some thoughts. Yeah. I know that.
Well, they were
sure.
embarrassed. I mean, let's face facts, right? And we're going to get to all this coming up 3 o'clock today on the radio show. Jackson's got thoughts. I got thoughts, and you know, I got more thoughts than people want, but I'll give them to you at 3 o'clock. But you know, look, every now and then, just to give you a little preview, there's a measuring stick that pops up during the baseball season, a barometer that pops up during the baseball season. I remember last year, early in the year, the Mariners played the Astros. I think it may have been in Houston, and they won the series.
Yes.
And a lot of people wanted to say, well, that kind of is a nice little barometer there. It's early, but a nice little barometer. So it's funny how it's okay to use these series as mile markers and measuring points when things go well. But when they go terrible, you're told to relax and calm down, the season's long. So I think there is some hypocrisy there from some fans when it comes to series like this. I mean, guys, let's face it. The last six games against the Yankees and Rangers were absolutely a measuring stick for this baseball team, and they were humiliated by New York and Texas. They were outscored, what was it, 50-16 and 30-9 in the three-game sweep against the Rangers.
That's
it. Exactly.
That's
just pull the plug. It's on meltdown. Forget about it. So, you know, look, does it mean the season's over? Of course not. But I think they're in a bad spot right now. And they're mostly in a bad spot, by the way, because the Tampa Rays and the Texas Rangers are not playing ball. All of a sudden, you wake up and the Astros and the freaking Yankees are in the wild card race. That ain't good, Mike. That's not good at all.
Did you ever go back and think maybe from this past weekend what it told us from like the offseason and the last 2 years and on how the Rangers just went for it and the Mariners could not do much besides like Teoscar Hernandez and Colton Wong?
Well, I think they're just they're limiting themselves when it comes to ways they can improve the ball club when they sit out of these free agent conversations. They really are, okay? And if they're waiting for Shohei Ohtani, then great. Then you better get Shohei Ohtani. If you're going to pass on everybody else because you're, you know, saving your shekels for Shohei Ohtani, then you better make it happen. I don't feel great about that being the plan. If their plan is to beat out the Mets and Yankees and Red Sox and Dodgers and even the Angels, who are now playing well, everybody
Padres
else
are also
in baseball,
that mix too. The Padres are not afraid to spend on anything. Anything.
So if that's your plan, then okay, fine. I mean, that plan doesn't give me a lot of hope, but I just think, again, when you sit out of these types of contracts for players that you think are too expensive because the back end in 8 or 9 years is going to be hell to pay, which I think is ridiculous thinking. But if you're going to sit out those deals, then you're limiting yourself on ways you can get better. So it is frustrating, but this is not all about the guys that they did not sign. And we'll get to that coming up, by the way, Mike, at 3 o'clock.
I mentioned this because I love that, you know, how Dick has fun with numbers. And I brought this up during Molly Wap with Nathan Bishop. There's 17 games coming up here. You got to play against... I mean, the Marlins are playing great ball. You have the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. You have the Orioles as well. And the five games against teams out of the playoff picture are against guys or teams who have guys like Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, Fernando Tatis Jr., and Juan Soto. So I think Nathan Bishop, if I'm not mistaken, said 10-7 is where he sets the bar at. I almost think maybe 12-5. If you want to go that high, feel free. But, I mean, what are you thinking for like 17 games here?
Well, I think it's a tough stretch for them. I mean, I think because of the hole they're in, they got to play even better than we thought, right? I mean, this is a tough stretch of games. There's no doubt. I mean, just look at it this way, Mike. If the Orioles and the Yankees and the Astros just keep up the pace, which I don't think they will because Baltimore's on 101 win pace right now. Yankees and Astros are at 96, and that certainly could happen. Nobody's going to be surprised if the Yankees or the Astros win 96 games. To win 96 games and to be in the wild card race, the M's would have to play 31 games over the rest of the way at 67-36. And they did that a year ago, by the way. They were 10 games under. I remember I tweeted it out. They got to do this and this and this. They did everything that we were asking them to do, and they got themselves out of that gigantic hole. But just relying on that again, man, for a, you know, for a run like that to happen where you play 25-30 over for the final 85-90 of the year, it just seems like a bad idea, right, to rely on a plan like that to happen again. But in the next 17 games, I think a 11-6 or a 12-5 type run, because let's face it, not only are they 9.5 games out in the West, they're 6 games out in the wild card spot right now.
And then we're going to learn that they're going to be a second half team, because that's basically that or nothing
else. That's what they've
done. Exactly.
That's what they've done.
That's the only hope. Yep. So again, what you got coming up here?
Let's see, a little fun with audio at 3:45. Corey Brock will join us from The Athletic. Talk some Mariners at 4 o'clock today. We got text at 4:45, some thoughts on the M's coming at 3, and then game 2 of the Stanley Cup Finals. They call it game 2 of the Stanley Cup Finals at 5 o'clock tonight, Vegas and Florida, coming up at 5 p.m. right here.
5 p.m., my friends. Say big thanks, Jessamyn. Anders Softies next. I'm Mike Benton filling in for Ian Furness.
For the mild-mannered and marginally objectionable Ian Furness, this is Paddle Day saying so long, everyone.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.